Hey folks, this is Pastor Mike and you're listening to our Wednesday night Bible study online. We hope you enjoy this and you can hear more of our sermons and teachings at www.visitbethelchurch.org. God bless you and have a great day. Genesis chapter 18, turn there. You are in Angels 101. Okay, Angels 101. This is angelology, studying angels. Angels, and we will see this from the scripture. We're going to let the Bible tell us about angels. Okay? All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. Which means if you want to know what to believe, who can you trust? Can you trust the guys on TV? Okay? Can you trust the preachers? Can you trust? I'd like for you to have a little bit of confidence in me, but not too much. Amen? It's not good to put too much confidence in one person. So we have to believe something. And we believe the Bible. We believe the Bible is the Word of God. And we believe that it's right. Amen? We believe that it's right. You can trust other things if you want. But I choose to trust this book right here. Okay? That's what I choose to trust. Listen, the Muslims don't have a problem trusting the Quran. They don't have a problem with that. In fact, they'll fight a bloody battle over their Quran. And they are. That's what they're doing right now, if you know that or not. They're fighting a bloody, terrible battle over their Quran. Their Quran's telling them to do that, by the way. And so I don't choose to I choose not to believe the Quran. I choose to believe the Bible. Amen. So we're going to study angels. Angels are not naked babies with wings. Amen? Okay? That is a fabrication. That is something that man has made up, and it's not based upon reality. Okay? And we're going to find out from the scriptures. And we talked a little bit about this last week, Genesis chapter 18. Let's get our bearings here. And I'm not going to re-preach what I did because I got to finish this tonight. Because we got to get to Sodom, all right? We got to get to Sodom and the story of Sodom. But anyway, Genesis 18, verse 1, and the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre and sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. This is Abraham. He's sitting there in the tent door, and he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. When he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground. Now, we looked last week, Genesis 19, and there came two angels to Sodom at even. So we know that these men that came to meet Abraham were angels. And remember, who can tell me the three classifications of angels? What are they? Seraphim, cherubim, and men. Okay? That's the three biblical classifications of angels. All right? So anyway, we talked about, let's see here. We went all over the place. We talked about the seraphim. We talked about the cherubim and all the places that the Bible talks about them. And you know what I still didn't do? I was going to talk about the spirit body and what kind of form it had. But I want us to understand something about these particular angels before we go to our other verses here on angels. I want us to look here that as these three men, now remember, they have the appearance of men. And somebody said, well, they just appear that way. It's visual, but it's not anything else. And we have this idea, again, that a spirit is something that, you know, if you were to run your hand up to them, you just go right through them, and they're just this big shapeless mass of gas that doesn't have any form, and that's not true. And the Bible does not say that anywhere. I'm going to ask you a question. Is God a spirit? Is God a spirit? Yes, He is. God is a spirit. Does God have a head? Yes. Does He have eyes? Does He have ears? Does He have an arm? Yes, because it's the arm that saved you. Okay? Does He have feet? How do we know that God has feet? Because he walked in the garden and he has a footstool. And what is the footstool of God? The earth is his footstool. So we know that he has feet. We know that he has legs. In fact, we know that man was created in the image of God. Okay? So, I mean, this is how it is. God doesn't just have this image idea. He has a form to himself. He has a head, he has eyes, he has ears, he has a mouth, he has nostrils, the Bible says. He has hands like ours. He has all these. In fact, Isaiah even says, see these little lines in your hand? Isaiah even says that God carved those in his hand. He has these little lines in his hand just like you do. Okay? And they're to remember something. They're to remember God's promise that he made to Israel. That's what that's all about. I don't have time to get into that. But anyway, look at the description here of these men. When Abraham and verse 2 in chapter 18, he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door, bowed himself toward the ground, and said, "My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet." Wash your what? Apparently, Abraham looked upon them and saw feet. So anyway, you're going to wash their feet and rest yourselves under the tree, and I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort ye your hearts, and after that ye shall pass on, for therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said, "So do as thou hast said." And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah and said, "Make ready quickly three measures of fine meal kneaded, and make cakes upon the hearth." And I'm sure Sarah's saying, "You don't have to tell me how to fix bread." Okay? I mean, I already know this one. Okay, but anyway, that's what the Bible says. Verse 7, "And Abraham ran into the herd and fetched a calf, tender and good, and gave it unto a young man, and he hastened to dress it. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed." And I'll tell you what, that sounds pretty good, doesn't it? I mean, here we've got bread, and we've got butter, and we've got milk, and we've got calf. Amen? Sounds pretty good to me so far. And he stood by them under the tree, and they did what? They had a mouth, and they drank the milk, and they ate the bread. You're licking your lips, man, because guys, I mean, we're this is like they got like a roast beef foot long here, okay? And they're eating this food, the Lord, and these two angels. Number one, they had their feet washed, and they're sitting down, and they ate the food. That's not just some shapeless apparition that Abraham saw. These men were as real as you and I are. Okay? And in every way, they looked like men and acted like men. But these two men were angels. Okay? So anyway, keep that in mind. That's the nature of them. So we talked to the seraphims have an appearance, the cherubim have an appearance, and these men appearing angels, Gabriel was one of them, we know that. These men, angels, have this form that is identical to human beings. Okay, now I don't remember what all verses we looked at last week. But I'm just going to start here. Did we talk about Job chapter 4 verse 18 where he charged? Yeah, I believe we did. He charged his angels with a crime, and that crime was folly. Okay? He charged his angels, with a crime. And when you charge somebody with a crime, you put them in jail and you hold them there. We're going to see in the scripture that is what God has done. Let's see here. Take your Bible, turn to Psalm 78. And I don't remember if we got this far last week, but we're just studying what the Bible says about angels. I think we did deal with this one because I remember talking about Ahab and a lying spirit. It was a lying angel. And Psalm 78 verse 49, the Bible says, "He cast upon them the fierceness of his anger, wrath and indignation and trouble by sending evil angels among them." Okay? So there is a group of angels that are not good angels. They are evil. But here's the interesting part. Can God control them? Yes, He can. Because the Bible says He sent evil angels among them. And I want you to get this. Because God will use angels. They are His servants. whether for good or whether for evil. Lucifer is actually doing the will of God. He doesn't think that way, and he doesn't know that way, and he doesn't believe that way because of his pride. But Lucifer is doing and performing the will of God by creating in mankind the ability to choose between life and death, good and evil, right and wrong, Jesus and Antichrist and all this stuff. That's what the devil is doing right now. And so these evil angels, there is one that we know from the book of Exodus. Do you remember the Passover? What was it? What was the lamb and the blood of the lamb on the doorpost going to protect them from? A destroyer. An angel called Destroyer. By the way, Abaddon and Apollyon from Revelation 9:11, that's what that means. The Destroyer. And here is the Destroyer going through, and this is an evil, bloodthirsty, murdering angel that God releases to go into this area and to kill all of the firstborn male children upon whose door the blood has not been applied. So there is a deep, great lesson there. Somebody say amen. Okay? So we do have evil angels, and God created them to work as agents of His judgment and to bring mankind to make a choice. You see, if one of the greatest gifts that God gives to mankind is the gift of choice, free will. Do animals have the freedom of choice? Well, they can kind of choose to wet on this tree as opposed to this one. But it's more instinctive nature than anything. Okay? Animals do not have the self-awareness and the free will that you and I have. They don't have that. Okay? But God gave man a choice. But in order to have a choice, you have to have two things to choose from. And one of them is good. And if God had never put any evil thing in the earth, then would man have a choice? Would he truly have a choice? The answer is no. If all that God ever presented to mankind was good, mankind does not have a choice. But God gave him a gift. I'm putting a really, 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 really good thing here and a really, really, really bad thing here. And you choose. Amen? Aren't you glad you chose the really, 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 really good thing? Amen? That's what I'm glad. But there always has to be a choice. Psalm 104, verse 4. We see here in verse 4, who maketh his angels spirits, his ministers a flaming fire. So we know that angels are spirits, but here again, that word has been taken by men and turned into something that it really is not. They have a form. They have a body. It's just not quite the same as yours and I. It's the same, but it's different. And that's about as best as I can explain it in the short time that we have tonight. Now, let's see here. I want to skip this and come back to it here in a minute. Matthew chapter 25, verse 41. Turn there. Matthew 25:41. Okay? God has His angels. So, God's opposite is who? Satan. Does Satan have his angels? Yeah, and they're all bikers. Okay? Sorry, guys. Okay? But you probably know some of them I'm talking about, right? Okay, all right. So anyway, that's Hell's Angels, in case you didn't get the joke. Okay, all right. Yeah, some are going, really? They ride motorcycles? All right. Matthew chapter 25, verse 41. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me. Well, I tell you what, I could probably chase a rabbit tonight. I'm studying, just kind of going through the Bible, and I'm not really just looking at every verse, but I'm just looking for places where I see right hand versus left hand in the Bible. It's a neat study. I don't want to get into it tonight. But anyway, he shall say to them on his left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for who? Yeah. The devil and his angels. So hell, listen to this now. Hell's not prepared for you, which means you don't have to go there. Amen? You don't have to go to hell. Because it really wasn't made for you. It was, watch this now. It was made for the devil and his angels because they don't have the offer of redemption that you have. They don't have it. God never made them an offer that says, okay, devil and all you angels, I know you did wrong. I know you blew it. But see, my son Jesus died for you too. That's not how it happened. See, angels are higher than us, and they have more abilities than us, and they're smarter than us, and they already know things, and they should have chosen the right, but they didn't do it. And they have fallen. And God does not offer them redemption. So He made a place called hell that is prepared for the devil and his angels. Humans are just, you know, extras that are thrown in there. And you don't have to go to hell if you don't want to. Because God made a way out. And I don't know about you, but I got this big 66 book Get Out of Hell Free card in my hand. Amen? Okay? And I'm not trading this off in free parking. Amen? I mean, I'm hanging on to it, all right? Anyway, so that the devil, God has His angels. And the devil has his angels. And how many does he have? 1/3. Okay, and how do we know that? Because we're going to find out. Now, how many exactly would be 1/3 then? And see, what's amazing to me is that the Bible says that there's an innumerable amount of angels. And yet God not only knows the number, but He knows them all by name. See, in order to have 1/3, you have to have a number. Okay? And God knows exactly how many that is. So anyway, so the devil has angels. Now Luke, turn to, you know, I'm going to hang on to that one too. There's two verses here. Don't let me forget them. I've got to throw them in here tonight so that we get a good understanding of what's going on. Turn to Colossians chapter 2, verse 18. 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. Let's see here. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Colossians chapter 2. Right after the book of Philippians. Philippians. Colossians 2 verse 18. The Bible says, let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of what? Angels are not supposed to be worshipped. Amen? When I, moron, showed up to Joseph Smith, what did he do? He worshipped him, and still do. In fact, we're not to make images of angels. So on top of the temple in Salt Lake City, is there one in St. Louis too? There's a big statue, golden statue of Moron Eye blowing a trumpet. That's against the Bible. Okay? That is not, you're not supposed to do that, but that's what they did. They don't, see, the God that they worship is not the same one. Because the God that they worship allows them to build statues and worship them, but that's not the real God. Amen? Okay? So anyway, so we're not to worship angels. You remember there was an angel that was showing things to John. And when John saw them, he fell down before the angel. And the angel's going, get up! You're going to get us both in trouble. You're not supposed to worship me. God will not give His glory to angels. And you're not supposed to worship any of the angels, especially one named Lucifer. But he, in Ezekiel 28, sits in the seat of God and he wants to be worshipped as God. And we're not supposed to worship him. And can angels lie? the evil ones can. One was, God sent one to Ahab and to the prophets. And remember what Paul said. Paul said, though we or an angel from heaven bring you any other gospel, let them be accursed. And Paul said also said that Satan appears as a what? An angel of light. That's how he appears, but that's not how he is. Right? Okay? So just kind of keep these eyes. So we're not to worship angels in any way. We're not to worship these other. By the way, these evil angels are the little g gods of the Old Testament. And these little g gods of the Old Testament were always represented by an image of some kind, an idol. So you had an image of a calf, you had an image of an ox, you had the image of all kinds of different things in the Old Testament. And what there was there was an evil angel that was attached to this image, to this idol, so that when they were bowing down and worshiping these things, they were worshiping these angels that went along with them. By the way, I was reading something the other day. I'm kind of going through the book of Jeremiah, so I'm pretty sure it's in Jeremiah. God was talking about how these images that these people build, and he said, they don't move themselves, they have to be carried. So what kind of God is so powerless that he cannot even move himself? He has to be borne around, has to be carried around. What kind of God is that? It's not a very powerful God. Amen? Okay? So the one true God is the one whose image was not made with hands. His image is you and I. Okay? So anyway, let's see here. Hebrews 13:2. You turn there and I'll tell you a story. Hebrews 13:2. Now, I don't know. Okay? But I'm going to tell you, I don't know if it's really this way or not. Sunday night, after church, we always head over to Walmart to get gas in Lisa's van. And when we're going through the parking lot or just on the little roadway by the parking lot, we pass this pickup truck and there was an older man standing there and he had a sign that said, "Stranded, need help." And it immediately just grabbed my attention. And I went, "Aw," like that. And we pulled in over to the gas station. I said, "Lisa, fill this thing up. I'm going to go see what they need." He wasn't asking for money. Okay? I shook hands with him. His wife was sitting in the cab. And I said, "How can I help you?" He said, "We live down in Perryville." And he said, "We're trying to get up to St. Louis to see our grandkids." He said, "I am out of gas." And I said, "Can you..." He said, "I've got a little bit to go somewhere." He said, "But I'm out of gas." And he's standing there holding a sign, just a cardboard sign that they'd made. "Stranded, need help." And I said, "Well, I'll tell you what." I said, "Let me finish filling up over here." And I said, "I'm going to take you to this little Phillips 66 station here by the church." And by the way, you bought this guy a tank of gas, by the way. Okay? I'm just letting you know. Okay, that's what you did. Okay? Anyway, we pulled in over there. And if anybody comes by and asks for gas, I don't give them money. I usually hang down here. And on the way over there, I was telling Lisa, you know, I said that's all they wanted. And I said, "I'm going to see if they need anything to eat." So when we got over to the gas station, I took the church credit card and I stuck it in there. And he kept saying, thank you so much. God bless you." And I said, "No, God bless you." And he said, "No." He said, "I really mean that." He said, "You know, that you would stop like this." I said, "Well, you know what? It's only money. Yeah, it's only money." And I did. I said, "You guys might be angels for all I know." Okay. And, I said, are you guys hungry? Do you need any food? I mean, there's a convenience little store there, you know." And he said, "No." He said, "Honey, are you hungry?" She said, "No, we're not hungry." I said, "Okay." You know, just all they needed was gas. So we filled them up, you know, and We talked to them a little bit, and we left. Okay? Were they angels? No, no. Look at this. Look at this. Hebrews 13:2. The Bible says, verse 1, let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers. I didn't know this guy. Okay? But I mean, it's just like that. It just, when we drove by, it just grabbed me. And I thought, I'm going to see if I can help this guy. For thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Now, I don't know if that's who this guy was. I mean, I don't know. But see, that's the whole point about unawares. Is that you didn't know. Okay? Not everybody that's asking for a handout's a lazy bum. I mean, we live in a bad economy right now, but it's not as bad as it could be. And it could be a lot worse and probably will be. And not everybody that needs help is a bum. And these people it just seemed like the right thing to do. And we bought them a tank of gas. That's all they asked for. And that's what we gave them. Okay? So maybe, I don't know, maybe one of these days we'll all get to heaven and I'll say, hey, guys, there they are. Okay? Pickup truck and all. In heaven. Okay? It wasn't a Ford. Okay? It wasn't. Okay? Yes, Jimmy. Listen, you know what? I have no doubt. Because of just of how it felt. You know, you just get this feeling sometimes that this is the right thing. That I've had times where I've had a situation like this. I had a guy call one time from this truck stop up here in Peavey. And he was asking, he told me this story and I'm listening to it. But there's just something ain't right about it. Just something ain't right about it. And he wanted me to do something. I can't remember what it was, but it was all on his terms. And I said, well, how about I do this? And as soon as I started changing the terms around a little bit, he got off the phone. And I knew there was something right about it. And I've had that happen before. But this just seemed like the right thing to do. And even if these people were not angels, you know who they were? They were people. He said, what church are you pastor? And I said, this one, two houses up right here. And I don't know if they'll ever, they said they live down in Perryville. I don't know if they'll ever show up here. But you know what? There's two people that got a glimpse of what Christians should be like. Okay? And all it cost us was, what, $35? Okay? So I'm telling you, let brotherly love continue. Amen? All right. Let's see here. Now, 2 Peter chapter 2. Man, I want to move through this because I want to kind of wrap this up a little bit tonight. 2 Peter chapter 2, look at verse 4. Now remember, back in Job chapter 4, the Bible says God charged his angels with folly. Okay? He charged them with a crime, and it was a crime of folly. So in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, the Bible says, for if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down where? Not to the earth. These are not the same angels that the devil has taken his tail and scooped them out of heaven and cast them to the earth. It's not the same group. Don't get them confused. This group here actually sinned, committed the crime of folly, and we talked about that last week, that the Bible uses that word to indicate like adultery or fornication or some sort of lascivious act. That's what he charged them with. The angels that sinned, and he didn't cast them to the earth, he delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. In other words, they're in jail, right? They're in the county jail right now. And they're being held over without bail for trial. Okay? When's the trial going to start? You start reading through the book of Revelation and you'll see it. Okay? But anyway, turn to turn to Jude, verse 6, chapter 18. Gets them every time. These angels, Jude and 2 Peter, are parallel books. They give you two views of the same, the false prophets of the last days and all this stuff. They give you two views of that, and they're giving you two views of maybe that's your job. Okay? Okay, anyway, Jude verse 6. And the angels which kept not their first estate. Now watch this. But left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness under the judgment of the great day. So here we have the same group of angels. Peter said that they sinned and God put them in chains. Jude says that they kept not their first estate but left their habitation. In other words, they were in the heavenly realms, and what happened? They left. Why did they leave? To commit their sin. Okay? Now, take your Bibles. Turn to Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1. Somebody called me one day, and they're very nice. And they said, "Man, we like what you got to say on these videos, but I got a little problem with Genesis 6. Now, you know this is where we're going, okay? And I'm showing you the whole of the Scriptures so that we can have light and understanding. Job chapter 1, verse 6. Now, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. Now, it doesn't specifically say here that the sons of God are angels, but that's the idea that you get. But I'm not done. Wait, there's more. Job chapter 2. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves for the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. Now, we know that Satan is an angel. So who are these sons of God? It looks like they are angels in the angelic realm. But wait, there's more. Job 38. Turn there. Job 38, what did I say? Verse 7. When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Now we know. Because stars are angels. Revelation 12 says so. So the sons of God are the morning stars. They are angels. Okay, now, does the Bible say anything else about the sons of God? Huh? We'll get to Genesis. We're not ready for Genesis 6 yet. Okay? Turn to John chapter 1. Who else could be the sons of God? Who else? John chapter 1 verse 12. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become what? The sons of God. So those who receive Christ, He gives us power to become the sons of God. What does that mean? Let's go to, I'm all organized here. Let's go to Luke chapter 20. Luke chapter 20, verse 36. In fact, let's back up here. Verse 34. And Jesus answering said unto them, the children of this world marry and are given in marriage. But they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world and the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage, neither can they die anymore, for they are what? Equal unto the angels. And so, here it is. Those who receive Christ after the resurrection are now what? Equal with the angels. Sons of God. So the New Testament sons of God is the church, the saved people. Because now when we die and we're resurrected, we're going to be equal with the angels. The Old Testament sons of God were the angels. Does everybody follow that so far? Now, I want you to take your Bible, turn to Matthew 22. Let's stick in the Old Testament very quickly here. Matthew 22. Now, what I'm doing. I'm doing it for you guys, but I'm doing it for a lot of people out there that want to know the Scriptures. They want to know what the Bible says, and they're not quite sure about this whole sons of God, daughters of men thing, because they have been told, that in Genesis 6, the sons of God were the generations of Seth. Now, I've given you a bunch of verses that I believe show that the sons of God were angels. You cannot, there is no verse in the Bible that says the sons of God were the lineage of Seth. There's not one verse in the whole Bible that says that. Not one. Nowhere. It doesn't say it anywhere. Okay? So, you have five verses here and no verses here. Okay? So who wins? Okay? Alright. Where did I tell you to turn? Did I really? Oh yeah, yeah. Matthew 22, verse 30. Because people say, now, no, Pastor Mike, I got you. Because angels don't marry. Because in Genesis 6, let me read it very quickly here, the exact language of the Bible. And I know you believe the Bible. Amen? Okay? Genesis 6 says, "And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives, of all which they chose." So these sons of God married wives. But here, the Bible says, Matthew chapter 22, verse 30, "For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God," where? The angels of God in heaven don't marry. They left their first estate, their habitation. They fell, and they took wives. You see that? Okay? Yeah, now, I know that this is not the Bible, but I'm telling you, okay, the devil's crowd knows this. There was a movie called City of Angels. And this angel falls in love with a human woman. And he wants to be with her. And he is told by one who has already done this, an angel, that in order to do this, you have to fall. And that's what he did. I mean, the imagery here, he literally did this. He fell. And when he lands on the earth, he's got this human body. And he's got little blood running, you know, all this stuff. But these sons of God, as long as they were in heaven, they didn't marry. That was a rule. Can't marry. Can't have wives. They left that. They left the established law. They left the habitation that they were in. And they joined unto these human women. I'm studying a book right now. Not written by a Christian. But he is going through the entire world. He's been in a lot of places. He's going through the entire world. And right now I'm in the part where he's in South America and in Mexico. And he's writing the details of all of these legends that the Incas, the Aztecs, the Mayans, all of these native groups who all built pyramids for some reason. Every one of them built pyramids. They all had the same religion. They all worshiped the sun god. They all worshiped the earth as a goddess. And every one of them have a story that, number one, there was a catastrophic global flood. And we know that happened, right? And that, number two, the gods came and married women and produced. In the realms of South America, they were called the Viracocha. In Mexico, they were called the Quetzalcoatl. Okay? But they were the hybrids of the gods and women. And that's as far as I've gotten in this book. Okay? But I'm telling you, this Bible's right. I don't understand all of it, but I know that these angels in Genesis 18, they had their feet washed, and they ate the meal and drank what was prepared for them. Okay? Now, why do we even bother with that stuff? That's just ancient history. As it was in the days of Noah. So shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man, people. There is a deception coming. There is a lie that's going to be told. Everywhere you hear, you hear them talking about a paradigm shift, a change in man's thought. And something is going to happen in this entire earth that is going to shake the foundations of every thought and every religion. And the Bible foretells that. There's going to be a shaking. The good news is, if you're founded upon a rock, they can shake it all they want to. Amen? And I'm not going to believe the lie. But the world is going to believe the lie. Get yourself grounded in the book. Somebody say amen. Let's stand to our feet. That is Angel 101.